Welcome to the Finding Favorites podcast, where we explore your favorite things without using an algorithm. Here's your host, Leah Jones.
Hello, welcome to a tiny bonus episode of Finding Favorites. Last week, I talked with Shai Corman all about Cats, the musical, the movie, and we had a sidebar into talking about magic, magicians, close-up magic, the culture of doing magic in Chicago, movies about magic. It was a really fun sidebar, but didn't have necessarily a place in a conversation about Cats. So as I've been doing recently, I thought I would put together a little mini episode, a teeny tiny bonus of just us talking about magicians, magic, and buying into the surprise. So enjoy this bonus episode about magic.
So the Rum Tum Tugger you had a crush on, did you ever do any of the headcanon like relationships? Were you ever like, oh, are those two together or anything like that? Like I did.
I mean, I probably did. And this was some of my problem with Les Mis, is that I listened to the Cast album for so long that you conflate the women singers and men singers as like single characters. Like, I don't know that I always differentiated all the Cats as different characters growing up. But when I saw it, the tour a couple years ago and Rum Tum Tugger came out, I was like, oh yeah. I was like, that's like a weird emotion I'm feeling right now, which is that this was a song I had a crush on. Like this energy. And after I saw the movie, like Mr. Mistopheles, he's the magic one, right? Like trying to do magic. And he was the one that I was just like, oh, I just want to hold you so close right now.
That,
like, I think, that was one of my favorite numbers in the movie.
To me, what was really interesting is that in the play, I always found Mr. Mistopheles live somewhat asexual, right? Whereas Rum Tum Tugger is this very sexual character, right? Yeah. This very... Yeah, he's the Lothario. All the women have had a relationship with him. And
he's
like a
Bon Jovi.
He's
a lead singer of an 80s hair band.
Exactly.
And when we were kids, yeah.
When we were kids, you're right. You're totally right. And so but Mr. Mistopheles in the movie is one of the audience avatars. Is one of the people he's not as self-assured. He's not the automatic magical cat. He's more timid and he's developing this relationship with Victoria. And in that sense, they gave him again, I don't know if sexuality is the right word, but they gave him a romantic plot that was totally empty from the character previously, where I totally get what you're saying. And he's kind of like, I feel like he's the more appropriate, like sensitive guy for these times. That's more of how he is. Like,
he's more evolved. He's a millennial.
Exactly. He's more, you know, he's more sensitive. He goes and he rescues Victoria and he's not sure of himself. And I mean, that scene is beautiful when they change the meaning of some of those scenes, like when they do the magic in the movie, that I thought it's different, but I'm down with it. I thought it was cool.
Yeah. And I thought that was a song with like real stakes. For me in the movie, like you were, because you didn't know if it was going to work out.
Yeah.
And you were like really hoping for him and like afraid it wasn't going to happen. But I also love close up magic. I love magic.
Oh, you do?
I have a
question.
Yeah.
So I'm not like, I don't want to learn how to do magic, but I do love the mind bending elements of it.
Yeah.
And we took our kids to see Penn and Teller in Las Vegas a couple of years ago. And I was trying to find, like, is there a movie or like a video of a stage show of people doing magic? Like where it's like, you know, because we can't go to a show right now.
Right.
Because I would love to, like, I mean, I can show them Now You See Me, but is there like a Penn and Teller live show or a David Copperfield live show that people like watch that amazes them?
Oh, there's got to be. I mean, David Copperfield, I think we may have also seen him when he toured Terre Haute. But a David Copperfield special when we were kids was like that was an event.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
remember when he disappeared the Statue of Liberty?
To this day, I still am like, and not only that, as a Goldbergs fan, that plays out in the Goldbergs as well.
I bet if you, I'm sure you can find David Copperfield.
Like I want
clips
some 80s,
on YouTube. Yeah.
I want some like 80s David Copperfield special kind of stuff. That's what I want to show my kids.
Yeah. And there's Chicago before COVID had over the last, I'm going to say 5 years, because Close Up Magic is a Chicago invention, I guess.
Oh, wow.
Like, I don't know if Houdini spent some time here, but there's magic. Like the close-up magic was really developed as an art form in Chicago, and there used to be shows all across the city and places you would go to experience close-up magic. And 5 years ago, this burlesque bar started doing magic nights, and there's some magic stores in Chicago. There have always been magic stores, but they started really trying to like apprentice people and make a ladder to get from like beginner magician to you can work a Tuesday to you can work the main stage.
Wow.
And then they opened like a whole separate magic bar with like cool cocktails up front and then three tiny little theaters for magic shows. And
see, that's so cool. Cause yeah. Magic, I mean, as much as I want to watch it on YouTube, cause that's what my option is right now. The live experience is what you can't replace.
Yeah. It's to me, going to see magic is like going to a haunted house, is like going on a roller coaster. I'm coming to a magic.
You think you're going to die? Because haunted house to me just seems like the opportunity to be murdered.
Yeah. I mean, I don't go to a haunted house, but I don't understand like going on a roller coaster, going to a haunted house and then being like, it's not that scary. You know, if I'm going to go on a roller coaster, I'm going to scream my head off because the goal is to scream and be scared and have your stomach go, woo, right? Oh, yeah. The goal of seeing magic is not to outsmart the magician. It's to be tricked and to be wowed.
Maybe to have a sense of wonder. I mean, I feel like we're in the same theme here right now, right? We're talking about this, like, unironically submitting to the flow of the wonder.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. I didn't know that about Chicago. Now I'm imagining like so I just started watching the show The Magicians because my mom's making me do it. And it's not about magicians. It's about really about wizards. It's just Harry Potter with grownups.
Okay.
But I would love a show about actual magicians. Like, you know the movie The Prestige?
I've heard of it. Because The Prestige is like all of the world building before you do the reveal of the trick, right?
Right, exactly. It's the return. It's the last moment. The prestige
is the
reveal, right? So there's the turn and then there's the prestige.
Okay.
And the prestige is about, it's a fictional story. Christopher Nolan, it's Christopher Nolan's masterpiece. Like, I know he's made Batman and all these things, but it's Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman. He can be in every musical. If you could put him in a role in Cats, I don't care which one it was, I would have been fine with it.
Yeah.
And he would have never apologized for it, right? Like, he would have just gone in and done a great job. But anyways, Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman are two magicians who were partners and now enemies. And it is about the extremes in which they will take competing to have the perfect trick. And it's essentially the career of these two men as they destroy each other and their personal lives trying to develop the perfect trick.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's got the Nolan twists. It's got there was another movie, The Illusionist, that came out at the same time with Edward Norton. Good. The Prestige. Okay. One of my favorite movies.
All right. Yeah, I think there's also in LA, you have to know someone to get to go. Ooh. There's a place called the Magic Castle. Ooh. And it is, you go to see close up magic, and you have to, like, a member has to take you.
That's so cool.
I've never been. I've heard about it on podcasts. It's like on my list of LA invitations that I want to get is, like, I want somebody to take me to the Magic Castle.
Do you just tweet out and say, hey, anyone got an extra invite? Or is it like just the fanciest people have this?
It's not the fanciest. It is fancy people, but you have to be. And I will publicly say, like, I want to go to the Magic Castle. I think the fanciest people who have the passes, like, maybe don't want people to know their members because it's nerdy and weird. But it's like, it's a nerdy, weird club. And I would love one night to go to the Magic Castle. Just seems like a cool night out in LA.
That's really cool. Yeah. Magic is one of those things. Don't ever want to learn to do. It's like stand up. I don't ever want to learn to do it. It's so amazing to watch and just be dazzled by how yep. amazing people are doing it. And that's what, and I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Finding Favorites with Leah Jones. Please make sure to subscribe and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Now, go out and enjoy your favorite things.